them. And I thank God for all of you. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share a little thing with you today. You know, in the United Pentecostal Church, when there's a pastoral change or things like that, you know, the church gets to vote on who they would like to pastor them. You all know that, right? But that's not true in every church setting, not with UPCI, but in the denominational world, many times pastors are assigned. And the church has nothing to do with it. They have no idea what they're going to get. Many times it's left up to an elder board, not at the local level, but even at the corporate level as far as the church is concerned or the denomination is concerned. And they just send a man to a congregation. And I don't know if you saw this video or this YouTube video or not, but this was the case, and I assume this was in a warm state. It was bright and sunshiny, and it was a large church. The church looked like it was going to be full, and people were mingling outside, and this was going to be the day of the unveiling of the new pastor. And sure enough, while people were mingling and going in and out, a homeless man showed up at the church and kind of sat outside on a bench. And it was really interesting. Only one person even said hello to that person. And nobody asked if they could help him or direct him or anything like that. And so he did come in when the church was getting ready to start, and he walked towards up to the front, and he was promptly ushered more to the back, and the church was just ecstatic that this was the day that their new pastor was going to be revealed. And so the elder of the church, I guess, came out, and he said, "We want to introduce our new pastor," and gave the name. And this homeless man stood up and walked to the pulpit. Much to the shock of the entire congregation, when the pastor got up there, he says, "Well, it's quite obvious we have a lot of work to do." He said, "Matter of fact, I'm going to dismiss you all right now to go home and contemplate the Jesus that you have been in coming here today." Nobody got up, but people began to weep, people began to repent, and people began to cry out to God for their shame. Now, I've said that tonight because, folks, you know, there's a song that we sang early on, and I know when I first came into the body of Christ, and it says, "Everybody ought to know." Y'all know that song? "Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is." And you know, the problem in America and around the world, and especially here in America, you know, when you mention Jesus, there's a lot of different ideas about Jesus. There's a lot of different teachings about Jesus. There's a lot of different theories about Jesus. Matter of fact, some quote-unquote doctor of whatever, doctor of idiocy as far as I'm concerned, came out that Jesus was neutral gender. But I'm saying to an apostolic church is that, folks, the people, we can't take for granted that when we mention Jesus Christ, that people really understand what we are saying. We need to not only talk about Christ, but we need to show the Christ that is in us. Because you see in our world today, and especially in America's society today, we are a generation that has lost its identity. I mean, in my foggiest dreams, I would have never dreamed that somebody would go to a public building and stand outside of a restroom, male or female, and go, we snicker, we may even chuckle, but folks, it's a real deal today that people are confused, and God is not the author of confusion. God has an identity. And I don't know about you, but I am so thankful to know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. Amen. He is wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty, robed in flesh. Amen. You know, Jesus never just did anything without intention. I'd have you stand with me right now for the reading of the word. If you would turn to the second chapter of the Gospel of John. We're starting pretty much right at the very beginning of the Lord's earthly ministry. Now, bear with me, folks. You know, I'm a teacher by profession, at least that's what I was trained to do. And I want to lay a groundwork here today. I mean, go back those 2,000 years, and all of a sudden a man shows up on the scene in Israel, born of a virgin, prophesied by a prophet over 400 years before, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a child. And all of these prophecies, and now here is this man, out of nowhere, quote unquote, and starting his earthly ministry that would literally change the world. Change me, how about you? So when we look at the first verse of chapter 2 of John, and I'm always amazed at the finite wording and the specific wording that is in God's word. It says, and the third day, everybody say the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And his mother said that. And Jesus said unto her, he never said mother. He said woman. Now I guarantee you, if my mom asked me a question and I just said, woman, can Can I get an amen from any teenagers that are in here? He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Well, his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And verse 6 says, and there were, and look at the specificity here. It says, and there were set there six, everybody say six, water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, the servants, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And then he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, right until, we would never have known what took place until somebody tasted. He tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And you're hearing tonight, I want to preach to you, saving the best to last. Amen. Would you lift up your hands and lift up your voices? Amen. Father, I'm asking once again, Lord, for your touch, your anointing, and help us, dear Lord God, to bring forth, dear Lord God, your word. And I'm asking, God, you would touch each and every heart and each and every mind and each and every being here tonight, including my own. And help us, dear Lord God, to be understanding of what, dear Lord God, that you are trying to do. We love you, we thank you, and we praise your great and holy name. And everybody said, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you all. Clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. And you may be seated. You see, there was no doubt in Jesus' mind who he was. I'm sure you sing the song here too. I know who I am. Amen. Do you know who you are? Do we really know who you are? Amen. I know a pastor went to visit at a nursing home, and there was this dear sister that was at the nursing home, and he went up to her and said, Sister Mary, do you know who I am? And Sister Mary looked at him and says, no. But if you go to that desk right there, they'll tell you who you are. Don't laugh too hard. We may be there. But you see, Jesus had no identity crisis within himself. He knew. Matter of fact, when he was 12 years old and he separated himself from the caravan, he stayed in Jerusalem. Amen. And Joseph and Mary, they lost Jesus. And they went back and they found him in the temple. And Jesus said, wish you not that I be about my Father's business. He knew who he was. He knew that he was destined. He knew indeed that what dwelt inside of him. And you see, that's why Jesus was very intentional in how he lived. Church, in this last days, we cannot just live haphazardly. We cannot just go with the flow. Tomorrow's going to be ugly Monday, and then we'll make our way to the happy weekend again, and then to a glorious Sunday. No, tomorrow needs to be just as real and vibrant in living for God as right now. Somebody say amen. Why? Because God never takes vacations. I'm fixing to take one, but he never takes them. And he wants to work through us because he doesn't want his church to have an identity problem. That we know who we are and that we live intentionally. Amen. For example, his teaching was always intentional. Every word he said was intentional. Every action that he made was intentional. The very first chapter of John, just one chapter before, you know, the Lord made very perfectly clear who he was. His identity is made clear. Andrew witnessed to Simon Peter on the first day. Everybody say the first day. Say it again. First day of his ministry. Amen. Andrew witnessed to Simon Peter. John 1:41 says, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And then on the second day, everybody say the second day. We're talking about the very beginnings of this 30 years, of his ministry. On the second day, John 1:45 says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And now we get to the second chapter, and it says, "On the third day." We're just 3 days into this, and he's invited to a wedding. And his disciples are invited to this feast. And there at the celebration of this marriage, the first recorded miracle of his ministry takes place. Third day. Intentional. How many days was he in the earth? 3 days. And then he resurrected with power, authority. My friend, we got to understand that in this particular happening at this marriage, God is trying to show his whole purpose, amen, for coming on the third day that he is showing himself to the public. Amen. I'm trying to set a platform here. He intentionally turns water into wine. When did you last see that done? And the response from the governor, or the head of the celebration, states, "Every man at the beginning doth yet set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But Jesus made sure that they all understood that he was saving the best to the last." Now, on this third day of his revealing to the people, he shows in an undeniable action his identity, that he is the God-man. He is able to do what nobody else can do. And he proceeds to intentionally display a lesson for all to behold and partake of. Right up to this very day, this lesson still is a lesson to learn, to understand, and to apply to our own lives. Amen. Well, what do you say that for, Brother Putnam? Well, it then says that his mother, this woman, comes up to him and says, "They have no wine." You know, mothers are like that. They're always looking out, you know, wanting to make sure everything's in order. Hello? I know that's my wife. "They have no wine." And it would appear that Jesus is somewhat flippant. It would appear that he's somewhat disrespectful, but not in the least, because he's trying to set the stage of his entire ministry. And I don't think he said it with an attitude. I just think he said, "Woman, mine hour is not yet come." In other words, he is not going to be his hour of what he is going to demonstrate this lesson to be is not yet come. No, that's going to come in about 3 years. Amen. He's 30 years of age. Those 30 years, but now he is going to perform the very first, amen, miracle. And the Bible says that Mary, she didn't stop with that. She ran over to the servants and said, "Hey, whatever he tells you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it." Now we might say, "Well, hey, you got to understand. Remember, Mary was a young girl, maybe 14 years of age, and an angel appeared unto her out of nowhere, and she was a virgin. She did not know a man. And the angel Gabriel came unto her and said, 'Thou shalt conceive, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and that you shall receive seed of the Holy Ghost.'" And what did Mary say? Mary said, "According to thy word, let it be done." Mary had a respect, amen, for the word of God. And so she knew the authority that would come forth, amen, because she also knew who he was, that he was not a normal, amen, child like all others. No, 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 no. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He is, amen, the great I am. So she says, "Whatever he says, do it." And then the Bible says there were six, everybody say six, water pots. Does anybody in this room know what the number of man is? There wasn't four water pots. There wasn't a dozen water pots. There wasn't five, there was six. Remember, everything that Jesus is going to do in his ministry is intentional. It has representation. It has allegory that goes with it. And there is an allegory here that those water pots are now beginning to represent all of humanity. They were the water pots made of stone. They were hard. Amen. And they were different sizes. Amen. Some held two firkins. Some held three. Amen. Of water. And that's a measurement. Amen. Of water in biblical time. A firkin represents to us. One firkin was 10.8 gallons of water. So some, the three firkin one, it was over 34 gallons of water, amen. And this was purifying water that everybody that came to this celebration, they stopped at the water pots and there they washed their feet. It was foot washing water. Now, I don't know, it doesn't tell us how many were there at the celebration, But it does tell us that there must have been several. Because evidently there was enough water in there for everybody to get a drink from. Now, I know that this church believes in foot washing. Amen. And keep it up, folks. I'm disappointed in some of our own churches that are too proud today to do foot washing. My Bible says that you're happy, are you, if you do it. Amen. So consequently, now you know, some of us, you know, after we get a good look at the guy's foot that's next to us, and we're next. Now, am I being real? And of course, all you ladies, you know, you keep your hose on, so you know you get it to hide. You get to hide a lot of things you don't know. But quite honestly, that water was putrid. That water was dirty. That water was smelly. Now, you know, in our society today, I would assume most of us took a shower today. I didn't get any amen, so I'm beginning to wonder. There's an amen. And you know, we appreciate being clean. But in biblical times, they weren't wearing, you know, patent leather and socks. It was sandals. It was dusty. It was dirt. They were washing their feet. It was purification. It was all of that. And Jesus, I love my God's humor. He goes over to the servants and he says to the servants, go fill up the water pots to the brim. And they're already told to whatever he said to do it. So they go and do it. And then he says, now bear out of that water and go give it to the governor, the head, the leader of the feast, and let him have a drink. Now, this is all paraphrase here. This is not in the word, but I'm thinking, if I was that servant, I'm going, Joe, are you kidding me? Do you know what's in that water? Huh? Your pastor said toe jam, so. You know, there was probably a lot of sediment in that water. Now, if you have to run out to the bathroom, I completely understand. But think of this. It took faith on the part of the servants to do what they were asked to do. Because I guarantee you, if that governor would have taken and went, guess whose head was going to roll? Hello? But you know what? They did it in faith. They knew where that water came from. They gave it to the head of the feast, and they took it. He took it, and I don't know if he sipped on it or if he just gulped it down, but he was going, wow! Because somewhere between the dirtiness of that water to the point that it got to the governor, it had made a transition from water to wine, from bad to good. And my friend, that's exactly what God wanted to show, that his ministry, those six water pots, were the human race. And bless God, and all of our dirt, all of our sin, all of our wretchedness, but given to God, he could make it from what was bad to good to distribute to the whole world. He didn't know where the water came from. Folks, you and I are called the servants of God. And for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. My friends, we need to have a very sensitive ear to the voice of our God. Amen. As God speaks to us. And many times when he does, we're going, oh, that can't be God. But you see, whatever he tells us to do, we better do it. I don't think all of you got that. Whatever he tells us to do, we better do it. If we don't, we're going to miss out on some great opportunities to impress, amen, those that our lives are going to be changed. Amen. He saved the best to the last. Praise God. Brother Anthony, same message as this morning. What were we before? How dirty was our water? Because the Bible says, the prophet even said, that our hearts were stony. And that he would take the stony heart out of us and replace it with a heart of flesh. What God was trying to show is there is a change coming, my friend. That's why God never leaves us as we were. That's why in this world, when they're trying to present a sacrificialist God, amen, that it's just blab it and grab it, amen, claim it and fame it. No, my friend, I'm telling you, when we ask God to forgive us, amen. The Bible says we are new creatures in Christ. All things are passed away. All things become new. And I don't know about you, but they're still becoming new for me. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord? Is anybody happy that you used to be the old water, but somehow or another in that transition, you have become the sweet wine of God to the world? Because that's exactly what the rest of his ministry was to show right from the very get-go, that there would be a transformation. There would be a change, and that change should make us, oh, you're not looking at a perfect guy. I make a lot of mistakes. I make a lot of have a lot of faults, idiosyncrasies. Amen. I have a lot of feelings that I have to get over. Hello? And every morning I have a choice. Amen. Do I hold on to the grudge from yesterday, or do I indeed let it go to God so I continue to be transformed? Because you see, even that new wine, please listen to me, even that new wine in us, if we're not careful, it can get mighty stale, and we can have all the outward appearances, but my friend, it's got to be vibrant and new on the inside of us. It's got to be fresh. I'm still excited about Jesus Christ. I'm still excited about what he can do in the life of somebody that is willing to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And you just never know. You never know. The enemy would love for us to shut up and sit down. The enemy would love for us not to speak at all because it's not politically correct today. Everybody has, quote unquote, if I've heard this once, I've heard it 100, 200, 300 times in the last several years. Well, I have my own church. Well, my friend, you can all have our own church, but there's only one church, and you better make sure that you've got the right one. You got to make sure that you've got the church that's in the book, not just a sign out front, amen, and a cross on a building. No, my friend, you got to have the goods, amen. You got to have, amen, praise God, because you see, there's some old dirty water pots that used to be dirty and rotten that are now sitting in these pews that are indeed clean and washed and washed by the transformation of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, stand to your feet and clap your hands. Praise God. What I'm saying is, church, we got to be real. We've got to be real. No put-ons. Not trying to be something that we're really not. But we've got to be real in our spirit, in our attitude, and in our actions. Oh, my. I can just imagine how those people in that church felt when their pastor was the very one that they were rejecting without knowing anything about him. They were counting him as a dirty water pot. But I'm telling you, Jesus is out to save. Did Jesus save anybody in here? If Jesus saved anybody in here, would you make your way to the front right now? If Jesus saved you, amen, would you make your way to the front right now? Praise God. And would you lift up your holy hands? And would you indeed, amen, worship him with all of your heart, in spirit, and in truth? Praise God. Because you see, what God has done for you, he wants to do for everybody. Everybody. Hallelujah. And folks, the best is yet to come. Did you hear me? The best is yet to come. Because in one of these services, in one of these hours, amen, we may be singing hallelujah on this side and praise God on the other. I'm telling you, he's saving the best for the last. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day. Singers, what a day that will be. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, no, Brother Putnam, you don't know what I'm going through. That's right, I don't. You don't know what hardship I've just come through. You're right, I don't. But I'm telling you, the God that you serve does. Amen. And he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't lost any of his power. He hasn't lost any of his willingness that we be the most positive and happy people on earth. Because you have become the best wine that he has that's being poured out upon the earth through people just like you and I. Amen. And people are saying, I don't know about you. It's what I said to my wife. I said, honey, I don't know about you, but whatever these people have, whatever these people have, I need it, Brother Schumacher. I need it. I was just an old, dirty water pot filled with filth. But sometime on January the 16th, 1971, between, indeed, 1 o'clock, amen, or about 11 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning. Amen. God transformed. Amen. The old, and it became the new. And I walked home, or we went home that night, praise God, being a new creature in Christ. Oh, lift up your hands in thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Would you ask God, Lord, help me to pour out to another vessel. Help me, dear Lord God, just be sensitive to the Spirit of God and just do what he asks us to do. That's his whole message, my friend. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we sing? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, there is, folks. There's a healer in the house. There's a deliverer in the house. There's a baptist.